This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Rachel Martin.
You know, in the beginning, I used to use two different computers, one for my own books under Niederman and one for the V.C. Andrews books. I actually spun my chair around. It was kind of weird. And then it almost feels as if V.C. Andrews channeled me, you know?
Maybe we should have warned you. If you're a diehard fan of the best-selling book Flowers in the Attic and the special brand of gothic fiction that followed it, and you don't know that V.C. Andrews didn't write each of the more than 70 books that followed, brace yourself. The voice you just heard was that of Andrew Niederman, and he is the ghostwriter for Virginia Andrews, also known as V.C. Andrews. He's been doing it now for 26 years, and he has carried her legacy into 95 countries and dozens of languages. Oh, and he's pretty busy writing his own stuff, too, like The Devil's Advocate, which became a popular movie almost 20 years ago. So in honor of Halloween, we present the ghostwriter. Andrew Niederman is our Sunday conversation.
I've written 44 thrillers under my own name, the biggest being The Devil's Advocate. But while I was publishing, my wife started to read Flowers in the Attic and was driving me out of my mind because she was talking constantly, you know, telling me how great these books were. And so, you know, while I'm writing my own novels, my wife is carrying on about Flowers in the Attic. So I really didn't get into it yet until my agent, who happened to be the same agent as Virginia Andrews, told me one day at lunch that there's a possibility I may have to finish one of the books.
Did you get to work with Ms. Andrews?
Actually, we never met. She had gotten into, her illness was more severe. However, as soon as I began writing the books, I became, obviously I was working with the family because the estate owns the franchise. There were two brothers and three children, and the mother was alive at the time as well, and I met her. And the last thing I remember her mother saying to me was, "Be sure you do a good job." So
it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, it was a challenge. And I think I had the tendency to be able to mimic, in a sense, other writers. Because when I was a college student, I remember I was fascinated with Faulkner, you know, and his writing style. And I had this intro to composition class. Mm-hmm. And I wrote my composition in the style of William Faulkner and got a D. And but I loved it, and so it just went on, you know, and on and on.
So these stories, these are complicated family sagas. Uh-huh. There's a lot to keep in your head, family trees, yeah. Half-relatives.
Yes.
Did you ever lose track of all of that? Would you? What was your strategy for remembering all the complicated relationships?
Yeah, I have to take a lot of notes, and I have to be always reviewing, you know, referring back to what the first book has in it and who the characters were. And not only that, but the fans pick up if you change eye color. Mm. In the third book, one of the minor characters, instead of having blue eyes, has brown eyes. You'd be surprised at how they jump all over it. I mean, they're just there. It's almost, so it's scary, you know, and I'm basically for that reason, I am very careful about it.
What was it like to try to capture this voice, which is so different from yours? I mean, you're writing for adolescent girls, passing these books around at summer camp, hidden in
right.
their backpacks.
Grabbing the female point of view was always a challenge. I rely on my wife for a lot of details, you know, like what should she be wearing at this point, you know. And then I have granddaughters now, and I'm always using them, asking them their expressions and what they're wearing and what's important to them. And so it helps to have that. But the funniest story I can give you is once I was on a CBS Today show in New Orleans. And you know how when you're going to be on a show, you're sitting in the waiting room?
Sure.
And nobody came out to get me. I was going on at 7 a.m. live. And it was about 5 to 7, and I was getting nervous. And then about 2 to 7, they came out and finally said, "Come on in." And they sat me down on a sofa and on the setting. And the woman who was going to interview me was doing the weather and then finished, and then there was a commercial, came running down, said, "I'm going to ask you lots of questions. We're going to be on in 30 seconds. And the first question when we came on live was, how do you write from a woman's point of view?" And I looked at her, and I was a little angry. And I said, with a straight face, I said, "Well, in the morning, I put on my wife's nightgown and high heel shoes and start to type." And she looked at me like she had a lunatic on the show. And then after like a 1, 2, 3 beat, I said, "I'm just kidding, of course." Actually, it was my wife's line. She told me to say it.
It is a unique relationship you have with this woman, Virginia Andrews, someone mm-hmm. you never even met, but I wonder if you do feel a peculiar kind of closeness to her, having assumed her life's work.
Yeah, there is that, and there's also a moral sense of obligation, you know, not to do a bad book in her name and not to write a Nideman novel and call it a V.C. Andrews novel. I mean, that, in that respect, I guess I hear her all the time.
Andrew Niderman is a novelist. He is also the ghostwriter for V.C. Andrews. Mr. Niderman, thanks so much for talking with us.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, Rachel.